It's Friday, January 12th, and you're listening to Michigan News from MLive. I'm Patrick Shea. Today on the show, homelessness is on the rise across the state, and the lack of available housing units isn't helping the problem. We'll hear more from economics reporter Rose White. After that, education reporter Melissa Frick tells us about a Michigan university that's enrolling two artificially intelligent students in freshman classes this semester. It's the first school in the country to do so. Then, meteorologist Mark Torregrossa brings us the weather report as winter has finally arrived in Michigan. He'll recap the snowfall around the state earlier this week and look ahead at an even bigger storm coming this weekend. All that plus a roundup of sports headlines coming up on Michigan News from MLive.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
As the housing market tightens and pandemic assistance programs dry up, homelessness is on the rise in Michigan. Rose White is an economics reporter with MLive and has more on this statewide issue. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Patrick.
So to start out, let's talk about the latest numbers here. What's the scope of homelessness in Michigan and where are we seeing it increase the most?
Yeah, so the latest report from Michigan's campaign to end homelessness shows that the number of people who are experiencing homelessness went up 8% across the state in 2022. So this report just came out at the end of last year and obviously is dated back to 2022. But we also saw some regions see a lot steeper increases. So two that really stuck out was in the Upper Peninsula, where homelessness was up 46%, and in Northern Michigan, it was up 56%. So those are some pretty big jumps. I also think it's important to note that this report only accounts for what's called literal homeless. So that means people who are staying in shelters or are even on the streets. So anyone who the state categorizes at risk of homelessness, so someone who maybe doesn't have permanent housing but is staying in a motel or couch surfing, they aren't counted. So we don't really have a scope of that side of the issue either.
In your story on MLive.com, you report that the number of people experiencing homelessness actually declined during the pandemic. What's the correlation there?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is the decline and now the subsequent rise in homelessness. There's a pretty strong correlation between that and the end of pandemic assistance programs. So even through mid-2022, there was still a lot of money available. So there was a $1 billion rental assistance fund that was still taking applications. And there was a homeowner program that just wound down last year that was helping people who were behind on some of their mortgages. But these programs came to an end just as we started seeing big jumps in the cost of housing. So rent last year in Michigan was up 14%, the second highest jump in the country, and home ownership in Michigan is up 5.4%.
And Rose, you wrote a different story last week that's very much tied to this issue, but sort of looks at it through a different lens. Could you tell us about the lack of housing units throughout the state?
Yeah, housing is definitely a key focus, I think, for Michigan this year. And it's definitely an issue I think a lot of people are struggling with. So the state estimates that Michigan is short about 190,000 housing units to keep up with the demand that we have here. And the Michigan State Housing Development Executive Director, Amy Hovey, when I spoke to her, she just kept calling it a crisis.
So housing seems to be getting scarcer, but at the same time, Michigan's population has actually been on the decline in recent years. So how is it that less and less housing seems to be available? Those two facts seem contradictory.
Yeah, on the surface, it doesn't seem to add up. There's been a big focus on the state level to also be increasing the population in Michigan, which that's going to be a challenge when we don't have housing to accommodate these people. But, you know, the issue is a lot more nuanced than just declining population doesn't necessarily mean houses are opening up. We have an aging population, so that means household sizes are getting smaller. So what we're seeing is, a household size might have gone from 4 to 2 people. So those 2 people maybe are now living on their own taking up 2 more houses that they wouldn't have been. And we're also seeing vacation homes start to eat away at the supply that we have, and also the rise of short-term rentals. So a lot of these factors are just kind of playing a role in what we're seeing in the housing crisis, in addition to just the housing stock in Michigan is pretty old. So there's stuff also just that needs to be rehabilitated or is just being taken off the market.
To wrap this up on a more hopeful note, what's being done to address housing needs in Michigan? Homelessness is on the rise, but are there any signs that Michigan might be able to reverse this trend?
It's definitely a tricky puzzle. Most funding for housing efforts comes from the federal government, and federal funding is at a 25-year low right now. So Michigan is trying to really be creative and innovative in trying to find some solutions that we can do on our own. So the state has put together a program that provides grants for local governments so they can start to rezone some areas. So some parts of cities or towns that maybe only single family homes could be built, they're trying to rezone those so multifamily units can go up. There's a tax program that Michigan rolled out to help fund affordable housing developments. And Amy Hovey also said this year the state is hoping to create a new program that would increase down payment assistance programs and also incentivize developers to do more multifamily projects. So even though, you know, there's definitely a lot of obstacles and hurdles and a lack of funding for a lot of these efforts, I think the Michigan State Housing Development Authority is very aware of these issues, and they're trying really hard to find some creative approaches to stem this issue.
Rose White is an economics reporter with MLive. You can read her continued coverage of issues around housing and homelessness in Michigan at MLive.com. Rose, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Patrick.
Artificial intelligence is making its way into more and more areas of society, and now a Michigan university will be the first in the country to enroll AI students in college courses. Ferris State University has developed two AI students who are enrolled in classes as freshmen this semester. Melissa Frick is an education reporter for MLive who's been covering the story, and she joins us now. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I want to get into what exactly an AI student is, how they'll interact with real students, all of that. But first off, I want to know why. Why is Ferris State interested in experimenting with AI students?
Yeah, this is really cool stuff. So overall, the goal here is to better understand what the student experience is like at Ferris State today. Higher education has changed significantly over the last decade or so, especially since the start of the COVID pandemic. And that includes changes to what the quote-unquote traditional student looks like. Traditionally, students would come to college straight out of high school, maybe delaying a year or two, but generally continuing their education, you know, right after they graduated from high school. Now we're seeing a rise in the number of students who decide to delay higher education and take several years off of school before they go to college, maybe to work and save up money. College classes also look different in many ways. More instruction is being done in a virtual format, meaning students taking classes online, or maybe a mix of both virtual and in-person learning. So overall, Ferris State wants to kind of take inventory and see what the experience is like for a new student on a college campus today. You know, how and when do students decide on a major? The two AI students themselves will actually be picking all of their own classes and eventually deciding on their own major themselves, which is really interesting. They also want to take stock of, you know, what is the registration process like for when signing up for classes? How does the admissions process work? And ultimately, university administrators want to take all of that information from what they've learned from this experiment and find ways to improve the way things function on campus.
Really interesting. So tell us about the two AI students. Do they have names? Do they have bodies, voices? I mean, what are we actually talking about here?
Yeah. So the two students themselves, they've been given names. They're called Anne and Fry. They don't have any gender or political affiliations or demographic information affixed to them just yet, but they have been programmed with kind of a general backstory, just to give them a little bit of personality to work on when they're picking their majors and stuff like that. They will not have bodies or be able to move around. You're not going to see robots roaming around the hallways at Fair State anytime soon, although the university does actually have roving bots in its inventory. But for starters, Anne and Fry will only exist in the classroom through a system of computers and microphones that will be set up in their classes so that they can just listen to their professors' lectures and any classroom conversations. At first, they'll just be observing the class, and researchers will be manually putting in any assignments into their computer systems. But eventually, they'll actually be able to engage in conversations. So picture being in class as a student and being broken up into small group work with your classmates. And you're in a group with a computer system that's actually engaging in your discussion and asking questions and stuff like that. So researchers hope that Anne and Fry will be able to deliver their own prompts and have two-way conversations in a very short period of time.
It'd certainly be a unique college experience to share a group project or something with artificial intelligence.
I know. Yeah. It's so futuristic to think about, but that's the technology that we have here today.
You've reported that Ferris State is believed to be the first school to try this, and it's not the only way they're investing in AI research. What makes Ferris State a good school to launch this experiment?
So, as you mentioned, Ferris State is believed to be the first in the country to enroll two artificial intelligence students as freshmen. That's according to Casey Thompson, a Ferris State associate professor who is helping lead the AI experiment. And Ferris State is well positioned to be engaging in this kind of work. They have one of just three undergraduate AI programs in the country and the only one in Michigan. Last month, Ferris State hosted its first AI Day, where they brought hundreds of high schoolers across the state for this really cool event that had interactive workshops, a discussion on how Michigan needs to prepare its workforce for the AI wave, and workshops on topics like deepfakes and ChatGPT. So Ferris State is doing a lot of cool and innovative work as it relates to artificial intelligence.
This will certainly be an interesting experiment to follow up on. You can read more about it, along with much more education reporting from Melissa Frick at mlive.com/education. Melissa, thanks for joining us. Well, it took long enough, but winter weather has arrived in Michigan. A storm system moved through the state midweek, and another one is on the way. MLive meteorologist Mark Torregrossa joins us now with the latest. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good day.
Good day to you as well. So first off, let's revisit that winter storm just a few days ago. Skiers like myself were getting excited by some forecasts calling for 7 to 11 inches in some northern parts of the state, but that's not quite how it turned out where I am. Could you walk us through a timeline of that storm?
Yeah, I think it was probably the low end of the forecasts. We did have mixture in there as far as snow changing to rain in places, as anticipated. But a lot of times I find that when you get the mix, and this next storm system will be the same thing, but when you get the mix, usually the snowfall amounts disappoint the snow lover and be on the low end of the range. It's a very psychological type of thing. You know, we're scientists. We're part scientist, meteorologist. We're also part psychologist because for whatever reason, a 4 to 8 inch snow forecast becomes an 8 inch forecast. A 6 to 10 becomes a 10 inch forecast. And the kiss of death for a meteorologist is to put that lovely word after 10 inches, and everybody focuses on we're going to have a foot of snow. But we have to always go back and remind we give a range because there is some uncertainty.
You know what, Mark? I got to admit, I'm probably guilty of getting ahead of myself and how much snow to expect. But I am curious.
You're not alone. You're not alone. Everybody does it, and I don't know why. So I have to adjust. I have to, like I said, be a scientist, issue a forecast, and I got to take and put a little psychology in there and maybe bump it down an inch or two because it's better to be burned a little bit on the upside than more constantly be burned on the low side.
That's really interesting. Yeah, the psychology of meteorology. But I am curious, what parts of the state saw the most snowfall earlier this week?
There was around Gaylord, Clare, little town named near Clare, recorded 11 inches of snow. So there was a swath of 9, 10, 11 inches southeast of Cadillac through Clare up to the northeast corner of Lower Michigan.
Yeah, that's some significant snowfall. And now apologies to anyone there who just finished shoveling, but Mark, you've reported there's another winter storm on its way, and it sounds like this one might mean business.
Yes, I mean, this one has a different personality. This one has wind with it afterwards, and it has cold with it. So that means the snow changes nature halfway through the storm, and from a sit-in-place type snow to a blow-all-around type snow. So we're starting to throw around the B word, blizzard. And I do think that we will have some sectors of Lower Michigan that get into blizzard conditions on Saturday. And regardless of whether you're officially in a blizzard or not, you're going to have a lot of blowing and drifting, and you're going to have colder roads, so a lot of dangerous driving conditions Friday into Saturday. And then I always get the other question. Here comes the psychology again. Here comes the questions on Facebook. So Sunday will be instantly, miraculously great to drive on, right? No, because it will be only in the teens, and the winds will be still gusting to 30 miles an hour, and there will be snow all around, and the roads will look like the Arctic tundra.
You know, you led me perfectly into my next question with that discussion of blizzard. You know, I was wondering, as I read your coverage recently, what is the line between a regular snowstorm and a blizzard? You know, lay people like myself might throw the word around pretty often, but how would a meteorologist like yourself define a blizzard?
Yeah, you know, the government, the National Weather Service, officially issues a blizzard warning, and they try to use that. They try to hold back to use it as, so we don't get the cry wolf syndrome. So when you hear it, you know that it's something significant. So the actual official criteria doesn't actually have anything to do with snow falling. And my wife actually reminded me earlier this week that I should write a post on exactly what a blizzard is. So this is a great question. So what it is 35 mile an hour wind gusts or higher, and visibility due to falling snow and or blowing snow of a quarter mile or less. This condition has to be expected to last for about 3 to 6 hours and not be just isolated here or there, but take over a couple of counties in width.
Well, there you go. There's the technical definition of a blizzard for you. And to wrap up here, Mark, let's take a quick look beyond this weekend storm. As this system moves on, we'll see a pretty significant shift in our temperatures, won't we?
We will, to something we haven't had yet this winter. Nothing historic as far as cold for us in Michigan, as compared to just out west into the northern Rockies. They're looking at maybe wind chills of 65 below zero in the next couple
wow.
days. But we're going to have highs in the teens and low 20s. Guess what? The last 2 weeks of, or the, I should say maybe the mid 2 weeks of January, are going to feel like January here in Michigan. Highs in the teens, low 20s, morning low temperatures down in the single digits above and below zero, no melting whatsoever. But this weather pattern and this world of weather is always interesting. We got to put back in the two 800-pound gorillas for our winter this year. That is global warming. It's always there. And the strong El Nino. And I'm thinking that this cold lets up, and by the time we get toward the 1st of February, we may be starting to talk about highs in the 30s, and is winter, quote unquote, done?
Wow. Well, at least in the short term, brace yourselves, people. Actual winter is coming for a bit. You can stay up to date on all the latest in Michigan weather by heading to mlive.com/weather. That's where you can read all of Mark Torregrossa's excellent work. Plus, you can now sign up for insider weather texts directly from Mark, so you're always up to date. Just text JOIN, J-O-I-N, in all caps, to 616-557-6578. Again, that's join in all caps to 615-557-6578 to get weather updates from Mark Torregrossa sent directly to your phone. Mark, thanks for the weather update.
Hey, no problem. Stay safe. Enjoy it. We'll get through it. It's not a historic century strong blizzard.
The biggest headline in this week's sports news is, of course, that the Michigan Wolverines are college football national champions. They had a dominant performance in Houston on Monday night, beating the number 2 ranked Washington Huskies by a final score of 34-13. So what's next for the program? Will Coach Jim Harbaugh head to the NFL? How's next year's recruiting class looking? You can hear about all of that and much more by subscribing to MLive's Wolverine Confidential podcast. Monday marked the end of the college football season, but the NFL postseason gets underway this weekend. The Detroit Lions finished the regular season with a record of 12-5. They'll host the first ever home playoff game in Ford Field history on Sunday night. It's a primetime kickoff, 8:15 p.m. The Lions will go up against a familiar face in Matthew Stafford of the LA Rams, Jared Goff's former employer. Plenty of juicy storylines there. Check out the latest episode of the Dungeon of Doom podcast where the guys sit down with Rams beat writer Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic. If that's not enough Michigan sports for you this weekend, you can also catch the Red Wings as they host the Los Angeles Kings Saturday at 7 p.m. and the Pistons as they face the Houston Rockets tonight, Friday at 7:30. Michigan State basketball plays Rutgers Sunday at noon, while the Wolverines face the Ohio State Buckeyes at noon on Monday. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening to Michigan News from MLive. I'm Patrick Shea. Take it slow and stay safe if you're traveling, and have a great weekend.